Welcome to San Diego Magazine's Happy Half Hour. We are thrilled to be bringing our show to you all today from Petco Park here in Suite 33. Again, thrilled to be partnering with the Padres all season long. I am Erin Chambers-Smith with San Diego Magazine. I've got Troy here, wonderful co-host. We've got Lauren Wingett. We've got David over here with the...
with the headphones and the computer and the thingies. Right?
And a box.
And a red box.
And the bloops and the beeps and the boxes.
Yeah. A lot of wires.
No, we're so excited to be coming at you from the Padres, again, from Petco Park.
Now, this is last night. Do you know what happened last night?
Yeah, this is a very good, there's a good vibe around the park. Remind everyone.
Because Padres were down by one run to the loathed LA Dodgers.
Well, one run and two games.
And two games. So the LA Dodgers had beat the Padres for two games in a row by one run. Come back, and then our bullpen kind of blew it, you know, and it looked like they were going to win again yesterday by one run. The Padres loaded the bases. There's two outs.
Bottom of the ninth,
and a grand slam.
It was amazing. It was just...
I'm auditioning for to be Mudcat's replacement.
It was super
replacement.
Cool. You know, that's it. So now we're here, at the Monday night game, and it's just, really good vibes around here. Mm-hmm. Mudcat is going to be in here a little bit later. Very excited to talk
Mark
with him.
Grant.
I guess he's a foodie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's been at this ballpark for, 24 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, not this ballpark, but he's been with the Padres for 24 years. You know, and he's seen the food of all. Because, I mean, baseball food used to be like a really sad proposition, a malt and a dog. And
I wonder what they served their players.
I know. We'll figure out what they serve their players. I think we're going to talk about that. He's going to talk about some of his favorites.
Mud, he does, have you guys seen his little Facebook thing on the Padres Facebook? He does Mud versus Food all around the ballpark. And he goes around and tries all the different food and talks to the chefs and the restaurateurs and all the local people that are here. It's cute. We'll link to some of them.
I love it.
And in case you haven't listened to our show, that segment will be coming up in a few minutes. But we always start with Hot Plates, which is sort of like news and things happening on the restaurant scene. Let's see. And then we always end our show with two people, $50 on our own personal recommendations of what we've been eating and drinking lately. We may or may not also be debating the merits of the Impossible Burger and its IPO. Mm-hmm. We might talk with Mark Grant about that if we get time.
$7.5 billion. Million?
$1.5 billion.
I
got the number.
With
that
billion.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Okay, Wing It, take it away. Tell us what's new.
Our first hot plate comes from Troy. Il Dandy has unveiled their new restaurant in Bankers Hill. Troy, you had the first look, the exclusive, the first photos that existed. How was it?
I'll tell you. You get the hype on a lot of these restaurants, and you kind of toss a lot of it aside, and you take the flowery language of the press release out and everything else, and every restaurant is in the second coming of Jesus, mm-hmm. you know. And I went in and I took a look at this restaurant. It is stunning. It is gorgeous. It actually, this restaurant comes with an art guide because they commissioned so much art for this place.
What?
And it's the guys behind Civico 1845 in Little Italy. That was their first restaurant. Well, they had two friends who were over in Calabria, Italy. The only two Michelin-starred chefs in Calabria, Italy.
Huh.
They imported them for this project. Now we have two Michelin-star Italian chefs opening up a modern Italian restaurant in the base of the building in the Mr. A's building.
So Bankers Hill, really.
Bankers
sort of
Hill.
Where we are.
I mean, this is, and I met the actual the chef. The only two Michelin star Italian chefs in Calabria are this guy, Antonio Abruzzino, mm-hmm. and his son Luca. So they both earned the Michelin star for working at their restaurant, and they are here right now, like going down to the docks, buying fresh fish, talking to all the local farmers.
What did they say about our fine city? Did they like it? Do they think it's weird? I'm so curious.
Well, I guess in Calabria, which is really known for Nduja, is one of their, it's like a pork spread they're really famous for.
What part of the boot are we in when we're in Calabria? Are we in the...
No idea.
Okay, we'll just cut that part out.
But I know that they call Calabria Calabrifornia, mm-hmm. because it's almost the exact same climate. And the one thing that the Michelin star chef said, is that the most interesting thing is he pointed to a blast chiller. And most San Diego restaurants and most restaurants in the United States don't have these blast chillers. They instantly freeze things right away. And the reason why that's so important is because they only buy whole fresh fish, like coming out of the water. You know, a lot of places in San Diego will buy pre-fillet cut sort of seafood, they get sent to them. They're only going to buy directly from local fishermen and get these whole fresh fish. Well, they have to freeze them because they have some kind of every fish you need to freeze to make sure that it's safe to eat any bacteria or something like that. So they can freeze that fish, serve the freshest possible seafood. If this is not a game changer for San Diego, I'm going to be shocked. Natural disaster is pretty much the only thing that can get in the way of this thing. But here's the thing about this, though. They're opening right up across the street from Cucina Urbana. You know, if I was Tracy Borkum, who owned an Italian restaurant in that corner for 10 years, which
is a beloved Italian restaurant,
and two Michelin-star Italian restaurants, two Michelin-star Italian chefs opened up on my corner, I might have some words.
But do you feel like it's different enough because she is very, like, California-inspired kitchen.
And she's
with
very
Brussels sprouts.
And very rustic.
Approachable, rustic.
Yeah.
And this new place is no rustic.
No rustic.
There's nothing rustic about it. It's shiny to perfection.
It is beautiful. I mean, it is one of the most gorgeous rooms I've ever seen in San Diego.
The pictures are at standingomagazine.com if you guys want to.
Yeah. We just did a first look on my blog there. They have a little side room. They actually recreated the Italian chef's restaurant from Calabria, and it only fits six people. They're calling it Arama. It's going to be open this summer, and it's going to be a 12-course, just they will create for you, and, 12-course tasting menu.
Do we know if this is a situation where the chef is here to open it and then he's back to Calabria, or is he going to be here a while, or what's
the
plan?
They are here for 3 months. I asked their people that. They're here for 3 months at least to start it. And then they're going to be going back and forth.
We have 3 months to convert them to make them San Diego diehards.
Exactly. But they said that they're not going to open it and then run. They're going to open it for 3 months, being on the line every single day, training everybody in their processes. And then they're going to be going back and forth between Calabria and San Diego.
Don't we see all that Little Italy energy? It's all just bleeding north up into Bankers Hill, right?
It is.
And there's so many corners and so many cool buildings. I just feel like I can see that starting to really become a cool. Yeah.
What if you think about it? If you have Mr. A's there, you have, now you have Il Dandy, that's the name of it, and you have Cucina Urbana. Now, that's now a place where you can just go, why don't we just go there and see if we can get a table at Cucina Urbana or Il Dandy or
Hane Sushi or that cute little wine bar, the Whetstone wine bar. There's a lot up there. Yeah. Bankers Hill Bar and Restaurant. I mean, there's some stuff. There's a lot of corners with cute stuff happening.
Is this the next neighborhood restaurant ready for its renaissance after my beloved South Park finishes its second renaissance?
I swear to God, needs to work for the Chamber of Commerce.
I know.
I'm gonna do it with Chamber of Commerce.
She thinks eventually they're just going to give her a house. They're like, look, she's been talking about it for so long. Let's just find this woman a back house and give it to her. Let her have it.
Mayor of South Park.
If I had one, Lauren, I would give it to you.
I would talk about it every day.
You already do.
Every minute of every day.
No, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, South Park is adorable, but it's tucked away in there. Bankers Hill, anybody can go there. You can go there anyway to the airport.
It's right next to Balboa Park. Yeah. You have Karen Krasny just opened up another extraordinary desserts over in Bankers Hill.
I think it's a thing.
Bankers Hill for a long time, and they're building a lot more residences there, a lot more towers, a lot more star architects are doing things there.
Yeah,
so it really is going to blow up here in a little bit.
All those people that are building those are like, why aren't they saying the name of them? And I'm like, I don't know the name of all of those places. There's gotten a lot of press releases about all those buildings.
And Bankers Hill.
Yes, and Il Dandy will open on May 10th. Yes. I got the official words. So
okay. And again, you guys, standingomagazine.com, we're going to have all this stuff on there and links to everything, so don't feel like you have to write it all down. What is next in Golden Hill?
In Golden Hill. Well, then we'll move right along. So as we mourn the closing of Cafe Sabaca, we have been confirmed that there is a new, cool-sounding local restaurant is coming in. Kingfisher is aiming to be a modern Vietnamese cocktail bar and restaurant. Mm. It'll open alongside on Broadway this year. It's a project from the team behind Crab Hut, which includes Chef Kai Pan and beverage director David Tai. Kingfisher will draw inspiration from cities from New Orleans to Pan's hometown in Vietnam with a menu that includes classic Vietnamese dishes and some modern takes on the cuisine. The cocktail menu promises to be ambitious and delicious.
Yeah, it's going to be Mekong food, which Mekong region is known for big, bold, spicy flavors.
Okay.
And here's what I love about this is that they have David Tai, who's their beverage director. He was from Lion's Share. He was from Sycamore Den. I love that some of these cuisines, like Vietnamese cuisine, Thai cuisine, they weren't known for craft cocktails. And those two never went together. And now they are. And now you can use some of those great Asian flavors and make a beverage program, too. It was usually you would just get a canned beer, a bottle of beer, and some amazing Thai food. And now they're having all these creative people come in and do the beverage part of the restaurant, too.
I hear the design is going to be beautiful as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty... Cafe Sabaca was awesome and so fun to go to.
Oh, that's what Archie loved.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I did many birthday celebrations for her husband there. Oh. It's a great spot and sad to see it close, but excited to see that it'll be Kingfisher and something new and different for that area.
Cool. All right, what else you got?
All right, Farmer's Bottega in Mission Hills is opening a new concept in North Park, which is desperately needed. Two Blue Ducks will be located on the corner of University and Utah and will focus on updated and trendy dishes like vegan food. The Aldi joint was so trendy. Yeah,
so trendy.
That's word for word from the release there. I was like, yeah, definitely. The Aldi joint will serve breakfast in the AM, including coffee and breakfast plates. And in the evenings, it'll transition to a beer and wine bar with light snacks. It'll be scheduled to be open in early May, so that's like now.
Do we know what it's called?
Two Blue
Ducks. Oh, you said that. Two Blue Ducks. I'm just looking at trendy and updated, but yeah, Two Blue Ducks.
I'm getting trendy food. I'm glad they're owning it. I'm excited.
Trendy and updated? You're looking at me?
And then our last is Liberty Public Market. Continues to add new tenants to the mix. Landini's Pizzeria, which just opened. Ono Grinds is Hawaiian. And the Pig's Git, which is a Texas-style smoked meats from the boys behind Mastiff Sausage. Holdfast, which we had Rob Ruiz on to talk about his sustainable seafood concept, will be open in early June. The biggest news is the announcement that BOPJO Soul in a Bowl, or tortilla, is opening in the main mess hall area of the market. It's a Korean-Mexican fusion concept. Think family recipes with a Mexican twist, a Gangnam dirty fries topped with kimchi and cheese, a kimchi quesadilla, and the like.
That is a really exciting concept for me because I do love, you know, tacos and burritos. Obviously, that, you know, that's my native food being a native San Diegan. But I was on the road through the college campuses doing the Big Ten Network show. And one of the places we found was a burrito that had like Panang curry in it.
Ooh.
Oh, it was good. So you get some, give me some Asian ingredients inside of like a burrito or a taco. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. And the Pig's Gig too, that's going to be like brisket and barbecue and stuff like that. Like West Texas style, which is really good because I mean, really, hopefully, you know, after Grand Ole Barbecue did such a good job with doing briskets in town, everybody has had to pick up their game, and I'll bet you the Mastiff Sausage guys will.
Yeah.
And Landini's, is there no pizza by the slice in the market already?
I know.
There was one concept that closed pretty quickly, but there hadn't been. So this is the first.
You were going to say failed and then get a heart, didn't
you? I did. And then I felt bad. That's okay. Folded.
Are these places replacing any of those? I don't know. Some of that stuff in the middle of the market's not that good.
Yeah, I mean, look, at any point you have 30-something vendors, you're going to have some, you know, some soft stuff in the middle, just like me.
One is replacing Roast, okay, which is that British Columbia meat outfitter. But
I just think that burger with the stuff in the middle of the burger is real strange.
Oh, yeah, like the Juicy Lucy's, that kind of thing?
That's like one of the top sellers in the market.
Is it? Yes. Where you bite into the cheeseburger and something squirts out.
And there's mac and cheese in it.
Yeah, so don't feel bad about your existence, but you should feel a little bit bad about your existence.
Go to Holdfast instead.
Okay, I'll skip it. That is Hot Plates. You guys, make sure you check your San Diego magazines because there is Hot Plates, 10 of them. And a big shout out to Marie Tetko, who helps us produce this segment and actually this whole show. Marie edits a Hot Plates column in San Diego Magazine every month. And then SanDiegoMagazine.com is where you can find Troy's blog. Because he keeps all kinds of good, cool info like
that
this.
First look for Il Dandy's up. We just did a little feature on one of the dishes that I loved at Death by Tequila, like a cold curry coconut ahi. Oh,
and your great. Seven Seas Roasting Co.
Seven Seas Roasting Co.
Did you have a good time over there?
I did. Well, you know what? I just did an interview with the guys. I called them because I saw all the efforts that they were making with poor Thai farmers. They actually had videos about like these poor farmers that they met because they're servicemen and they met them overseas. Mm-hmm. And they met these farmers and wanted to help them out. And they've really like turned around some of these like really indigent.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it really turned around some of these farmers who were growing commodity crops and really got not getting paid what they were worth. So they went over there and taught them how to grow like premium beans, and they basically are doing lighter roast because American coffee is just dark mudslides of darkness. Bitter and strong and dark. And these guys are basically doing like Laos coffee that is really light and floral and kind of like, you know, changing the third.
Have you had some of their coffee like cocktails?
I haven't gone in. I gotta go in there.
Well, it's in a certain neighborhood that I won't name, but it's a great spot.
It's in South Park, isn't
it?
Yeah. It's in South Park. Jesus. All right. We just bought Lauren a house. All right, I want the mayor of South Park.
I want to get her one. If I had one, I'd get it for you, hon. I would. Okay.
Did you just call her hon? Are you a 75-year-old waitress? That was awesome.
It's either hon or gal.
Yeah, there are many options.
Okay. We are almost done, you guys, but I want to ask you one question. Have you become an insider yet? I didn't say this at the top of the show, but joining us in this suite, 33 at Petco Park, watching the game in a very lovely setting is... a handful of our insiders.
We're like on the cranky Muppets on the balcony seat too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, cool. And the insiders are here with us, on us. We're hosting them. The insiders is our membership program where you can get exclusive invites to monthly hosted, that's the keyword, hosted happy hours, events, and then all kinds of discounts for you to use at your leisure at all of our favorite restaurants that we've recommended and partnered with, even stores around town. It's basically sort of a souped up version of subscribing to the magazine because you get the magazine in your mailbox every month, but then you get all these other perks as well once you become an insider. It's $10 a month. It's the best deal in town. I'm telling you, we've got a couple hundred people group, and we just love them.
To clarify what Aaron said, they are the insiders are in here with us, but they are not on us.
No, we are. It's on us. Like we hosted them. I think most people got that. Yes, your fiance is doing a face palm right now because she agrees with me that they didn't need to be clarified. Okay, fdmag.com/insiders is where you can learn more or sign up to join us. Okay, you guys, we are thrilled to move on to our special guest this week. We have a very special guest, Mark Grant, a.k.a. Mud, who has been the voice of the Padres for 24 years. I'm going to read a very shortened version of your resume here.
Please do.
Mud, you pitched for the Padres from 1987 to 1990, and then you started your broadcasting career at KFMB Radio in 1994 as a sports anchor, and you're now with Fox Sports San Diego, color commentary that is beloved by the entire
family. Well, thank you. That's very kind of you, and I impersonated a pitcher. You said I pitched for a while. I backed up third base quite a bit, but no, it's great to talk to you guys. If we're going to talk grub,
absolutely,
I'm in.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Troy, it's good to see you again.
It's good to see you too.
Shouldn't you be on the pregame show right now?
You know, I think we're going to rehash that in the middle of this game out in the Western Metal Supply Building. Half the audience will be in an altered state of somewhat. Yeah. You know,
back in the days of the Quattro.
The Quattro, exactly.
The countywide leader.
Yeah, I was the pregame show to the pregame show.
Yeah.
I don't know how much pregaming you need for a baseball show.
It was great, though.
It was fantastic.
It was great to have you.
So 24 years, man.
I mean, I know.
Explain to me your job. I mean, like, when you give the elevator pitch, you know, like, what do you do?
People ask me what I do, and color analyst for a baseball team. I say we have a play-by-play guy, and we have a color analyst.
Mm-hmm.
The play-by-play guy describes what happened, and I describe why it happened.
There you go.
So in the shortest way of telling it, that's basically what I tell people.
And how do you come up with something new to say every single day?
Give it you know, that's the challenge. That's a great point.
Because how many
Troy.
Games are there?
162.
That's a lot.
And you know what? You make a great point. Because if it's the game of the week where it's once a week, right, you could, you know, lay it all out there. All your notes, all your ad libs, all your stuff. When you're doing games every single night, you got to try to mix it up. And I think that's where I get a little crazy and where people think I'm kind of off the deep end.
which you are.
I don't, and I'll admit that. Uh-huh. I don't want to be the same phrase, same type of description each and every night.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, how many different ways are there to describe a ground ball to the second baseman?
I think you've discovered almost every
single thing. Well, you get to the point to where the second baseman to his right, he wears size 10 and a half shoes, picks it, and throws the first one. So, you know, once in a while, you got to throw that in there. And people are like, what did he just say?
So, Have you ever gone viral for your particularly crazy description of something?
I think, when you say viral, that's like hundreds and thousands of millions of...
Okay.
Have you ever been trending on Twitter?
I think I did once, and I can't remember
the shillelagh is kind of a thing.
Yeah, I got to break that out, actually. Yeah. I got to break that out again.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as going viral, I think there's been a few ridiculous things that I've said that hasn't gotten me fired, but yet still has trended on Twitter. I can't think of the...
Tap danced on that line of appropriateness.
Exactly. Yeah. Pushing the envelope a little bit.
Size 10 second baseman shoes. And I mean, how good does this year feel? I mean, look, I, as you know, mm-hmm. I did a pregame show of your pregame show of the pregame show, you know, and those were a couple really good years for the Padres, you know, and I've been a lifelong fan since I was 4 years old, and there have been some not so great years.
Sure.
This year, as the most excited I've been about the Padres team in probably two decades.
Very lean years for many years.
Yeah.
And when the signing of Machado happened, it just, this whole city just got a buzz.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Austin Hedges. That kind of went viral as far as his reaction when the news got to camp that Manny Machado had signed. And I think that's, I cannot go to the grocery store without somebody telling me.
Oh my God, I want to talk about this season.
What do you think about the Padres? Uh-huh. What about this? What about that? So it's definitely a different dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great feeling that we have something to talk about. And it's not just one guy. It's the young pitchers. It's Manny Machado.
Tatis.
It's Fernando Tatis Jr. Mm-hmm. And this kid's the real deal, and I don't have to tell you that. And I know I work for the Padres, and I'm a Padre announcer, but this kid is unbelievable. And it stinks to have him out hurt right now, but you'd rather take more time to get him healthy.
But so isn't he's just so, I don't know, it makes me smile. It just makes you smile. It's fun to watch. I love just to see the jokes and the dances and all that little stuff that we remember being kids when you had those good years where there was all those things and the, you know, the nicknames, all
Ozzie
that stuff
Smith
is back.
Backflip.
You know, don't you wish more guys were like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He has fun playing the game. After a play, like, he and Manny will like chat back and forth, or just the facial expression.
Yeah, they mess with each other a little bit.
And I think it's almost like a competition over there as well on the left side of the infield with Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado. Okay, who can outdo the other guy? And I think that pushes both of them. Even though Manny's the veteran and Fernando is the youngster, I think they kind of push one another. And that's refreshing to see.
And you're down there, you know, with them all the time. Is it as genuine as it seems?
Yes, it is. We travel with these guys and we see them each and every day. I don't hang with them, but I get a chance to see them in the clubhouse and what they're all about. And it's genuine. It's they genuinely love one another. They love playing the game of baseball and cannot wait to get out there to play the next game. So
cool.
Because you know what it's like, too. I mean, 162 games a year. If you have somebody in the clubhouse who just kind of sucks, you know, or like has a bad energy. Yeah. It was
like working with you at Channel 4.
Absolutely.
You brought everybody down.
In case anyone listening hasn't been living here for 20 years, Troy did the pregame show to the pregame show on Channel 4.
Excuse me, I'll be under the bus if anybody needs
you. You know, I will say this. Troy brought an energy to that pregame show like any other. No, seriously. He loved his job. He was prepared, and he had a passion for it, and you could tell that he was a fan. And you were awesome at it.
The best thing that was the first time, they were like, you know, this is the Padres. We're gonna have like all these celebrities you're going to be interviewing. And, you know, it's not necessarily L.A., so we didn't have like Mick Jagger showing up to every single game. You know, so they were like, remember the first.
You got the UPS driver that's dropping off the boxes down in the tunnel for the players, right?
The first episode, they're like, stretch. And that was my entire season was stretch. I'd sit there, and I just keep on talking and talking. It was great.
It was a good time.
All right, so tell us about your food.
You're the foodie. Yeah. Well, that's what we've heard.
I love food.
You're the Wolfgang Puck of the Padres.
Well, thank you. That's very kind. I mean, just look at me. I love food. I always
we
have.
We all do.
I always have, and it's kind of a downer each and every year when I go for my physical, and my doctor says,
stop loving food.
You need blood work done, and you need to do this and that and the other, and it kind of stinks because I don't like being hungry, and I just love food in general, and I'm not a food snob.
Yeah.
You know, we'll go to some of these places, and some of the people I travel with say, boy, the food here is terrible at this ballpark or whatever. I'm like, you know what?
Whatever.
It's not that bad.
Yeah.
I'm getting a chance to nourish myself. I feel lucky. Like, I'll pretty much eat anything.
In my job,
I won't eat eggplant or carrot cake.
Carrot cake.
I'm sorry.
Carrot cake. Really? It has no taste. It's a filler. Please.
Hey, where's the Padres representative? Can you just have mud, escort mud out?
Interview's over.
No.
And eggplant,
kind of
it has no taste.
Eggplant's disgusting.
I think. Thank you.
What?
Thank you.
All
the people say, oh, you bread it and you put this out. Well, yeah, because it masks the taste of the eggplant.
And the texture is horrific. I agree.
It's horrible.
Deep fry the anguish.
Yeah. But anyway, I'll pretty much eat anything.
You must love the Petco Park, though, especially recently, all the upgrades. What are some of your favorite things to eat at the park here? Or how often do you actually like eat the food here?
I do quite frequently.
You do.
And to pick one, it's almost like saying which child you love.
Exactly.
Right?
And this is very political for you too, because you know all
but
these
But I will say this. Like I said, I love everything. Buona Forchetta, the pizza place.
It's
just phenomenal.
It's so good.
Bored and Brew, they make great sandwiches. And I go, you know, the best barometer for telling people how good the food here at Petco Park is when the other announcers come.
They must.
And they're, you know, going to go off campus and not eat in the dining room. So they'll go out and find out one of these places around, and they just rave about it. And I know I work for the Padres, and I'm here at Petco Park all the time, but the food here, after going to other ballparks, it seems like other ballparks, first of all, they don't have the classy places like we do. They just like kind of throw food together, and here it is. This is a place to where they actually give a hoot.
Right.
And the atmosphere, the ambiance, and the quality of the food is unmatched.
Yeah, I mean, well, sushi places.
I'm honestly saying
it's
that.
A taste of San Diego.
Yeah, it is. It's
you
great.
Can literally land, yeah. go to Petco Park, and eat at yeah. all the best restaurants in San Diego, and mm-hmm. not leave.
And that's the great thing. If you're a season ticket holder, obviously you're lucky enough to come to the ballpark each and every night. You can go to every different restaurant each and every night, and just make the cycle, and just get a taste of San Diego.
See, I got a question for you. Like when you were going through the majors. I mean, nowadays, I mean, they have nutritionists and you know everything else. Yeah. I mean, they're eating micro, you know, down to like the actual nutrient and perfect portions. But when you were going through ball, were you guys just eating dogs all the time?
We were eating Hershey and mayonnaise sandwiches.
Oh, my God.
No, it was. You know what? It's, seriously, when what? I came in the clubhouse in my career early in the morning, there was a box of donuts.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a box of donuts, and get on the sinkers.
The original flaxseed.
Exactly. And we might have, in fact, this is a true story. In Pittsburgh, old Three River Stadium, visiting clubhouse, the pregame spread was a jar of peanut butter, a jar of jelly, and a box of Ritz crackers.
No.
Oh, yeah. That's go get them, boys. Yeah. Yeah. And then after the game, maybe a few boxes of pizza. Oh, maybe they ordered out some mostaccioli or some fried chicken or something like that.
Okay, what's on the table now?
Now it's unbelievable. They have chefs going in there. And I mean, guys go in there and say, hey, I want this. I would like this. Can I?
I'm vegan. A lot of people are going vegan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So they've got the pregame meal, the chef, to where they can go in there. If they want to have lunch, it's a 7 o'clock game. If they want to go to the ballpark at noon, they're there to make lunch for them. And then after, they have the chef to make whatever their choice is, or if they meet with a club and they say, hey, what would you like for the 3 days that you're here?
Right.
So because each team like has a nutritionist and like a slash chef, cook, whatever. So
these are finely
it's very,
tuned
very
athletes.
Sophisticated these days.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a different age. I mean, you know what I like about
just want a box of cereal.
I know. Can I just get some Life cereal, please?
Life, that's too healthy.
You have a sweet
cinnamon
tooth.
Toast crunch.
Aren't you this? You like sweets, right? Ice cream. Love I read sweets. That you have sort of a sweet tooth.
Mint chocolate chip ice cream is my favorite.
Now that's you're talking. Thing. All right, you're back on my good graces.
Froyo.
The character.
The Baked Bear. Have you been to the Baked Bear here, the ice cream sandwich place?
I have heard about it.
Oh, it's so good.
You try to stay away from it because it's in your place of business, buddy. Yeah, that could be dangerous.
Okay, we do have a hot topic. Anybody think that the fake meat yet has taken over?
Now, Beyond Meat. Have you had this? But Beyond Meat or Impossible Burgers? How they learned how to make plants. They found the legume and the hemoglobin in actual plants. They make basically plant-based burgers that feel and taste like burgers,
they
actually bleed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's wild.
How much did they spend on it, Troy?
$200 million. Bill Gates has invested in it. It is a massive. They just, Beyond Meat, just was it Beyond that just had their IPO?
Yes. $1.5 billion. The company is valued at
$1 billion. Mud, you got to try this. I mean, honestly, if you ever want to like cut back a little bit on meat, even though I love a good burger and I love a good bacon and everything else.
Too.
But occasionally, you know, I can't eat it all the time, right? You know, because I don't want to croak on a Tuesday, you know, which would be next Tuesday. You know, but this stuff is,
well,
I mean,
now they
really
have it at Del Taco, has a Beyond Meat Taco. Mm-hmm. Burger King is going to roll out the Impossible Whopper.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you want a fancy version, it's at Jane's.
I'm kind of confused on this. It's a plant?
It's all plant-based.
It's made out of peas.
You know what they did, Mud? It's amazing. They actually took a regular burger, and they had scientists capture every molecule that came out of, like, sizzling it and everything else, and then they recreated that with using plant-based products. There's something like 2,000 molecules of flavor and taste and texture that they captured from a real burger.
No kidding.
And it does look like a burger.
I would try that.
Yeah. It tastes like an empty, soulless hamburger, but one you could get used to.
I don't.
So it's really custom built for me.
Yeah.
Empty and soulless.
Perfect.
Okay, that's
Troy's more open to it. You've liked the flavor. Look, but I mean, do you think it's worth $1.5 billion? Is it the future of this?
It is absolutely the future because we can't.
It sounds like something that would be the future.
Yeah. I mean, look, we can't just continue eating burgers. Like you were saying, you can't wake up and eat a box of donuts every day before you go to the ballpark. Yeah. You know, we can't have a burger every single day. You know, but we do want that burger flavor. We want that burger, you know, vehicle. That's a classic American stitch into our DNA kind of food.
Yeah. Right? Here, I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but thinking about likes and dislikes, there should be an act of Congress to where raisins are not allowed in oatmeal cookies.
Or cinnamon rolls, right?
Raisins.
Producer David's giving a clap on
that. Okay, now here's the deal.
Agree.
Oatmeal cookies are just that, oatmeal cookies. And no, you know, chocolate chips are fine, but no raisins. But here's the kicker. Plain raisins, I think, are disgusting.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Raisins in oatmeal cookies, disgusting. Mm-hmm. But I will eat a whole box of Raisin Bran.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the sugariest cereal that there is out there. That is the worst one for
you. I know.
That's
why it's good.
That's what makes it so good.
That's why it's good.
Mm-hmm. My blood sugar goes through the roof. But isn't that funny, though?
I know.
So
certain things don't belong. So that's like when they put bacon in desserts, you know? I mean, I love like, bacon's everywhere, you know? You start putting it in my dessert. It's like, no, it has its own region. And it dominates that region of breakfast very, very well. Yeah. You know, like, don't put it in my ice cream. Don't
No.
Yeah.
I think a lot of our listeners are listening, thinking, yes, do away with the raisins. I think a lot of people
agree
with that.
I'll be on board. I'll preach to, we'll make that I'll stand on Capitol Hill.
Hey, moveon.org. We're going to start a movement for that.
Okay, great.
Okay, and we always end our show with two people, $50. Will you hang around and tell us what where you go to eat on your sort of off time? I know you don't have a lot of off time.
You know what? I'm going to mention a chain here in San Diego.
Do it.
And I love it. And every time I've gone there, I've had a pleasant meal, and I love the atmosphere. The Brigantine.
Oh, the fresh tacos.
I love the Brigantine. Yes. I love everything about it. Everything I've had on that menu has never disappointed.
Now, do you get like the torta? Do you get the fish tacos? What do you get?
I get the fish tacos. Mm-hmm. I get the spinach salad. Mm-hmm. And
look at you getting healthy. You're looking good, kid.
And then the sundae after.
The mint chip ice cream.
With the raisins?
No raisins. No raisins in ice cream. None. Please, don't do it.
Okay, how about you guys? Do you have your two people $50?
I have mine. I'm going with a not quite as a classic as the Brigantine, but I think it's an up-and-coming classic, Puesto. We were at Puesto a few weeks ago for our top taco contest, and I was reminded just how great that taco spot is. Their margaritas, I want every flavor. They're mixed to perfection. They offer kind of the right amount of what you expect. They elevate the general margarita. I could drink them all day. And then their no big deal. Their tacos are so fresh and innovative. We not only ate our weight in the chicken tinga taco, which was the winner of the top taco contest, but then we finished the night with the lobster taco, the street corn. Oh, it's just a fun.
They
get
the Manny Machado.
Place.
They put the gold leaf on.
Yeah. See where we're going.
Do they still put the parm in the guacamole?
They certainly do, and it's how guacamole should be. I think. But yeah, I love that spot. I forgot about it, and I love it.
So how about you, Troy? Two people, $50.
So for mine, there's in Orange County, I love ramen. I was raised on ramen. Yeah. My mom's, among her many, many skills, and she's a beautiful woman, cooking was not one of those skills. You know, she says that I learned how to cook in defense. You know, I had, you know, survival skills. You know, but I grew up on, like, you know, it's that cheap ramen that you put two packets in the boiling water and put 17 packets of seasoning in there and, like, all the MSG and everything else, you know. But there's a new place called Hiro Nori up in Hillcrest, and they have this shoyu ramen, which they make their own 2-year barrel-aged soy sauce that they do the broth in. It is phenomenal. I'd heard it was really good. They're starting to chain it out. It's a small chain. It's just like a couple guys from LA and Orange County, but they landed in this spot in Hillcrest, which has killed every single restaurant that's ever gone in there. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's kind of like you know, a restaurant goes in there and you hear Clint Eastwood whistling somewhere, you know, and like the vultures
good,
start
the bad and the ugly. Yeah,
the vultures start swimming around, but this one's going to do really good. There was a line out the door. Hiro Nori, go get their shoyu. They have their tonkatsu too, but fantastic.
Very good. Awesome. I'm going to go with Coronado Brewing for two people, $50 this week. And for anyone listening that has young, small children like I do, they have a brand new patio. Well, not brand new. It's been there a little bit. But a patio off to the side part of Coronado Brewing in the Bay Park location.
People like kids these days. That's
nice. And there's cornhole, and you can pre-order and pay so that when your kids freak out, you can just run out the side door. And they have great food now, a little food menu. They have a full kitchen there so you can bring kids in anytime. And I learned about the Mug Club. Do you know about the Mug Club at Coronado Brewing? Mm-mm. $50 and they give you a mug. And then every time you go in, I think your beer's $5.
And they put your mug on the wall?
I don't know if they keep it there or not.
I know about the Mugshot Club. That's my
And I'm saying this because my husband does not listen to this podcast, but anyone out there looking for a Father's Day present, that's going to be mine. The Mug Club at Coronado Brewing. And just a reminder, you guys, we link to everything that we're talking about today at sandiegomagazine.com, so don't feel like you have to write everything down. Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you
for coming. That was so awesome.
Thank you.
We appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
Troy, good to see you.
Great to see you, brother. Always.
We're going
to
dig up some old clips and we're going to put them up there with this.
When I had hair.
Yes. I got to find some Channel 4 archives.
I was 100 pounds lighter. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Good
luck to y'all.
And lastly, you guys, we want to hear from you about your own two people $50 or any of your questions, concerns about this podcast. We want to hear from you. We have a phone number. We're going to end each podcast with a question for our listeners, and you can call us at 619-744-0535. I'm going to say it again, 619-744-0535. Or if you're scared to call us and leave us a message, you can email us, happyhalfhour, all spelled out, at sdmag.com, and leave us a message. I really do love hearing the $2 people $50.
Yeah, $2 people $50 are just questions that you have, like where to find, what kind of stuff. You know, Lauren, as our social media director, you get, you know, like questions from readers all the time.
Oh, where are the best croissants? Where are new restaurants in Encinitas? Where should I drink cocktails in Encinitas? Where should I drink alcohol in Encinitas? Where are the best new restaurants in Encinitas? I don't have your North County recs, but please keep asking.
But how often do people say, too, like, I'm turning 30 on Tuesday.
Oh,
I
so
need
many
a place
times
for 20 people. For that's 20 super people. Cool, but not expensive.
That is one of the biggest questions that I get as a food writer.
We need to do
in
a
San
roundup
Diego
of that.
I know,
yes,
the best place is for...
to it.
Honestly, my stock answer for that, now that they actually have a good chef down there, is Stone World Bistro. You know, the big groups. That's the best place in San Diego to have a big group, for sure.
You
know.
There you go.
There you go.
That's a good
yeah
one.
So email us your questions.
Can that, and we can just keep serving it up. Okay, thanks so much, you guys. We'll see you next week. Mm-hmm.